It's my pleasure to be here with you today. Christopher was a candidate from the church which I pastored in Mooresville, North Carolina, and I baptized Amara. It's good to be here today. Would you please pray with me? Holy Spirit, we take this moment to be still, to listen, to wait. Whisper truth into our hearts. Give us ears to hear your words, Lord, words that are life-changing, words that transform. Illuminate the scripture that we read today that we may know and understand more fully the God who loves us, who has saved us, who will one day return to take us home with him. We are so grateful for your insight, Holy Spirit. Thank you for knowing our hearts. We open them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. It is a fitting passage to read on this day as we ordain somebody who is going to serve in Christian education mainly at this time. Listen for the word of God as it may come to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home or when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with fine large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill either, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lessons are from Luke's Gospel, chapters 22 and 23, sections thereof. And the first two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, listen for the word of the Lord. When the hour came, he, Jesus, took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again from Luke, Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him. Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow. Release Barabbas." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city. And for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" One of the criminals who were hanged with Jesus kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. I once read somewhere that the fortune teller examines one line on the palm of your hand and tells you, "That is your lifeline," but the fortune teller is wrong. Your memory is your real lifeline. That is the reason why the Bible counsels us to remember. Memory is very valuable. Memory is indispensable. Memory is at the heart of theological education. Memory is at the heart of church life. Memory is at the heart of ministry. Memory is at the heart of Christopher Tweel's ordination and calling as associate pastor for ministry with the deacons and with the Christian education programs among families, children, and youth at the Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church of Richmond, Virginia. We really can't get along without memory. Indeed, we can't really live without memory. Memory enables us to interpret life, to make sense out of life, to live life, if you will. Memory enables self-understanding, to make sense out of life. Memory, there are precious times when all of us come to know ourselves and to understand ourselves greatly through the meaning we receive from remembering a past experience. I like to call these special past experiences remember wins. Remember wins are experiences that God graciously will not let you forget. Remember wins are special times that find you and give you hope and something nurturing to stand on. In the book of Genesis, maybe Sarah's and Abraham's greatest remember when was the time the Lord told them that she would have a baby, even though they were both candidates for Medicare. In the book of Acts, maybe the Apostle Paul's greatest remember when was a blinding light that knocked him off his proud feet as he journeyed in a zealous and mean-spirited hunt on the road to Damascus. Well, what about you? What about your own lingering remember whens? What about your own special God-given memories that won't let go of you? Most of my remember whens are rather simple. They're not very dramatic, yet they are personally very special to me. They won't let go of me. They linger, if you will. By the grace of God, they return to the surface of my life and again and again. They represent themselves again and again. One is the memory of a Sunday school teacher, Chris, who nurtured me and affirmed my personal worth through his own Christ-like love. It was my fifth grade Sunday school class. His name was Charlie Chevrant. I just loved him. As I remember, he was a funny-looking little guy, Charlie Chevrant. He was a sort of frumpy mixture of Mr. Peepers and Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers. And I remember when he would tell us the stories of the Bible and the teachings of Jesus, our hearts would quicken and we would sit up and listen and take nourishment. He made them come alive. He quickened us. He was something special, Charlie Chevrant. I remember one Christmas season, I asked my mother if we could buy a necktie for Mr. Chevrant. So we went downtown to Montgomery Ward's, and my mother said, "You pick the tie, Dean. It will mean more to Mr. Chevrant if you pick it." Well, it was the 1950s, and I picked a good one. Indeed, I picked a whopper. It must have been 6 inches wide. Its multiple colors, as I remember, were a winsome combination of grays and browns and maroons and yellows and blacks. And I remember that my fifth grade Sunday school teacher, Mr. Chevrant, wore that ugly tie every Sunday for years, and I loved him for it. He made me feel special. He made me feel like I had the image of God in me. He made me feel like I had personal worth before God Almighty. Remember when's? I also remember when the living spirit of Jesus Christ taught me a life-shaping lesson when my best friend's house burned down. Let me rename him Tom Jones. We were in the third grade. We lived in the same neighborhood. We went to Emmons Elementary School and the same Sunday school, the same junior choir, and eventually the same communicants class, now called confirmation class. Years later, we even went to high school and college together, and later he taught in law school at American University and wrote over 20 books on the law. Well, when the tragedy came, I had a memorable encounter with my mother. Come to think of it, we had many memorable encounters. Indeed, whenever my mother called me Dean Keith, I just knew we were going to have a memorable encounter. "Dean Keith," she said, "Tom Jones' house has burned down. Everything is going to be fine. No one is hurt." Then she said, "The two of you are the same size, and we need to give Tom Jones half your wardrobe." "Oh, no, 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 I don't want to do that," I said. "I don't want to do that. But he doesn't have any clothes anymore, and you do. You have plenty, Dean Keith." "Oh," I said. "Oh." And I remember that right there, we went through my chest of drawers and my closet, and we divided the clothes half for me and half for Tom Jones. Yes, I remember. For there are times when we, all of us, come to understand and interpret life greatly through the meaning given to us from a past experience, a past memorable encounter. As my grandmother's old-fashioned gospel hymnal used to say, "Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold." Sometimes, when I sit in a worship service like this one today, sometimes when the scripture lessons are being read, I remember a great soul named William Tyndale. I remember that during the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, one William Tyndale became the first person to translate large portions of the Bible into English. I remember that it was against the law back then to translate the Bible from the Hebrew and the Greek into English. It seems strange, really, really strange, but it was illegal back then. I remember that when the authorities caught up with William Tyndale in Belgium, they put him in the slammer, then they strangled him to death, then they burned him at the stake, all for translating the Bible so we can read it here today. Here, on this special occasion of the ordination of Christopher M. Tweel as Associate Pastor in Christian Education and Nurture and in the Deacon's Service Ministries, here at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church, Richmond, Virginia. Yes, often and often and often when the scripture lessons are read in worship, I remember William Tyndale and our enormous debt to him. Yes, there are times when we come to understand life more profoundly through the meaning we receive from a past experience. And I ask you, what is the purpose of worship if not to remember? What is the purpose of church school if not to remember? What is the purpose of Christian education if not to remember? What is the purpose of this year in education and nurture if not to remember? What is the purpose of our hymns if not to remember? What is the purpose of seminary and theological education if not to remember? Yes, the Christian life is in large part the simple act of remembering, remembering to whom we belong and therefore who we really are. Here's the picture as I see the picture as a community of memory. We in the church have a common memory about creation, fall, captivity, sin, goodness, exodus, deliverance, justification, sanctification, providence, grace, forgiveness, revelation, servanthood, salvation, redemption, resurrection, and reformation. Repeat that after me. We have a common memory about God and the mighty acts of God in our lives, especially our living memory of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christopher, your personal stewardship of these great mysteries of the faith is at the heart and soul of your ministry to this Christ body, this blessed congregation of God's people, their children, youth, and families. And to this calling, you must be trustworthy, says the Apostle Paul. And as we remember Jesus, and as Jesus remembers us, we realize that William Faulkner once uttered deep, deep biblical truth when he said, "The past is never dead. It is not even past." That is why the Bible is at the heart of and soul of God's people, for the Bible is God's word written. It is also the church's sacred memory in written form. And I suppose the church could lose its memory in any generation, as Dr. James I. McCord of Princeton Theological Seminary used to warn, the church could suffer from biblical theological amnesia in any generation. Thus, your people, Christopher, come to this sacred space Sunday after Sunday, and they bring their little ones, and they bring their youths, generation after generation, so they won't lose their common sacred memory. Thus, we lift up to the Lord this sacred afternoon, Christopher. We lift you up and your congregation and all of our congregations, our ministers, our church school teachers, our Charlie Chevrons and our seminaries and colleges and schools, which pass on the faith from generation to generation, as the Coventry Cathedral booklet on Evensong confesses, you are stepping into a story which was told long before you were born and which will be told long after you have graduated from this life and gone to live with the communion of saints in the great company of heaven. Yes, Christopher, when you welcome your children and youth to church school, and when they come to your youth groups and your choirs, you nurture them. You teach them lessons, verses, and hymns, such as Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, let all that is within me bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits." And in church school, you teach your children these words about our faithful God, who also remembers. Exodus chapter 2, after a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered. God remembered God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with Sarah, and Rebekah, and Rachel. God remembered. And in parents' training sessions, in your workshops on home and family nurture, you will lift up before your families these words of instruction about your ongoing parental responsibilities. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And during stewardship season, and just before the Thanksgiving holidays, you will feed your children, youth, and their families with these spiritual words from Deuteronomy 8. "When you have plenty to eat, and when you live in fine houses, do not become proud and forget the Lord your God. Nor must you say to yourself, 'Mine own skills and energy have gained me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God. It is God that gives you strength to become prosperous." And in their confirmation years, when your youngsters make a conscious decision to stand for Jesus Christ as their personal teacher, leader, mentor, Lord, Savior, and friend, when they stand as his disciples, you will gather them around a wooden table, and you will break the bread of life with them, and together you will repeat these words from the lips of Jesus: "Do this in remembrance of me." That is, says Jesus, "Always remember what it is that most nourishes you, and as you wander and struggle through life's dangers, toils, and snares, always remember my life, death, and resurrection. Always remember my ongoing presence in your midst. Take the time to stay focused on this nourishment. Take the time to take me into your lives, and take the time to share me with others." And across the years, as you and your people gather at your sacred place of worship on Holy Week, on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, you will gather figuratively under the cross, and you will repeat these words spoken by one of the criminals on Calvary: "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And with repentance and amazement, you will take into your hungry soul Jesus' most memorable answer: "Truly, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Why in the world do we rally together in all our congregations Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Why do we rally here today for this ordination of Christopher? I know the answer. We rally together in worship, study, and mission and fellowship every single Sunday of the year because we don't want to forget to remember. I tell you, this is the heart and soul of Christopher's ministry in this special Christ body, which he knows and loves as Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church of Richmond, Virginia. Christopher and we, all of us, don't want to forget the Lord who made us and who regards us as the apple of the eye forever and ever. We don't want to forget to remember that we come from God and we are with God in this life, and that when we die, when we graduate from this life, we will go to God and all will be well with our souls, soul meaning person. We come here today to remember God. We come here today to remember our forebears who have passed on the faith to us. We come here today to remember the stories of Israel and the teachings of Jesus. We come here today to remember one another and to love one another as members of Christ's family, Christ's body, the church. As Frederick Buechner has written, when you remember me, it means that you have carried something of who I am with you, that I have left some mark of who I am on who you are. It means that you can summon me back to your mind, even though countless years and miles may stand between us. It means that if we meet again, you will know me. It means that even after I die, you can still see my face and hear my voice and speak to me in my heart. But, says Buechner, if you forget me, one of the ways I remember who I am will be gone. If you forget me, part of who I am will be gone. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There are perhaps no more human words in all of Scripture, no prayer we can pray so well. Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember all of us. Jesus, help all of us to remember. Christopher Tweel today reminds me of an old saying that is worth remembering. Whenever you come upon a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know that he didn't get there by himself. Well, Christopher, you did not get to this sacred moment in time all by yourself. Somebody paid for you to get here. Somebody prayed for you to get here. Somebody taught you and nurtured you and believed in you along the way. I tell you, nobody comes to Christ without a witness. Who were they, Christopher? Who were the wonderful saints of God who nurtured you to this particular and sacred point in time? Do you remember them, Christopher? Christopher, do you remember? Yes, you remember. Christopher, I know you remember. Thus, on special occasions like today, I like to ask folks to join me in a spiritual exercise. First, let me ask you to bow in prayer right now and to remember before God two or three persons who have fed and shaped your life as a follower of Christ. Remember them now, thankfully, before God. Now, please lift before God two or three persons whose lives you would like to feed and shape through Christ in the future. Remember them now before God. Lord, we remember you. Lord, we remember. Amen.